How many of you folks here today are thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ? Let me just tell you, we live in a day and age where it's not a popular thing to talk about the blood of Jesus Christ in the church. His church has been so user-friendly minded for a generation that they have forgotten what it's truly all about. It's truly about the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ, period. I may hurt your feelings by saying this, and if I do, I'm going to ask that you get your little bitty, itty-bitty feelings off your shoulders and pay attention to the truth. None of this is about you or I. Everything in this life, if you're a born-again believer, is about Jesus Christ and Him crucified and pointing others to the death, the burial, the resurrection, the hope, the peace, the forgiveness, the eternal life that is found only in the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Y'all give Him praise this morning. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, if you have your Bible, please turn there. If you have one of those interesting electronic flippy devices, flip there. We're going to continue looking in Ecclesiastes, and in this passage that we're going to look at today, it's one of my favorite passages of Scripture in reference to seeing a glimpse. And let me say this, we only get to see a glimpse of God and His sovereignty. But to see a glimpse of who He really is. Through this passage. How many of you know we live in a forever changing world? How many of you realize that you've been changing since the day you were born? We change with the seasons. We change with the time. We change with our purpose. We change with our desire. We're unstable in all our ways. Aren't we? I know you don't like to think that in a day and age where preachers are supposed to build you up and make you think that you're better than the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. You're not. It is His righteousness where we find our worth. And let me tell you this. Because of Jesus, I'm worth something. But apart from Jesus, I'm worth nothing. Because it is Jesus and Jesus alone who has allowed me access into the throne room of a sovereign God. And without Him, I'm nothing. I have nothing to offer any of you. I have nothing to offer God the Father. I am evil and I'm wicked and I'm undone. And I'm thankful that in His sovereign plan, He has chosen to love me in spite of me and to forgive me when I didn't deserve it, and to give me eternal life in Christ. And what we're going to see today, we're going to see a glimpse of God in the midst of all this change, all the things that go on, and all the seasons of life. How many of you just would say, there's seasons of life? We're approaching one right now. I've talked about it a little bit. I don't talk about it a lot, because y'all see, sometimes my eyes get foggy. I don't cry. But my eyes get foggy, and that condensation sometimes drips down my face. But we're approaching a new season in our life. We got a kid who, in a short time, he's going to go off to college, Lord willing. That's a new season. It's change. And here's the thing, man. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. For two reasons. One, I'm going to lose my lawn boy. Number two, I'm going to lose my fishing buddy. But the thing is, hopefully he'll come back every week and mow the grass and we can maybe go fishing. I'm only playing. But we have those seasons in our life. And I'm thankful that when our seasons change, we're going to talk about that a lot today. God remains the same. And we're going to also talk about that God allows us to live a life of seasonal change so that we stand in awe of His stability, so that we stand in awe of the fact that He is the one constant in all the universe. And I'm thankful. Aren't you thankful that you serve a God who's absolute and who's constant and who doesn't change? Because if I was God, I would change based on my mood. I want you to understand something today. Though you have mood swings, God never has mood swings. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's read this together, Ecclesiastes chapter 3. As we look at a message entitled, "With Every New Season and Purpose, God Remains the Same." Don't ever think that because you're going through a new season that God's freaking out about it like you are. He's not. And I love that. And my God doesn't freak out when I do. Everybody know what freak out means? Where you just, man, you lose it. What am I going to do? And I know what we men like to do. We like to act like only women go through that, but we freak out. We're just quiet about it. We freak out on the inside, and our wives know we're freaking out because we're not talking. Right? If I'm not talking, my wife's like, what's wrong? Nothing. Why do you ask? Because you haven't said anything. But I'm really freaking out on the inside about something, and she knows that. So let's look at this. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Solomon says some very wise things. He comes to some conclusions that will help each of us if we'll pay attention. He said, there is a time, this is chapter 3, verse 1, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. Did you know God didn't have that? Did you know that? He's not freaking out about that. Like we do. Oh no, there's a time to die. That means someday I'm going to die. Let me break the news to you. Someday. It's going to happen. There is an appointment for you. For it is appointed unto man once to die. Your physical body will die. But thankfully, those of you who are in Christ, you will live forever. Though this old body that I don't even know why we care so much about it, decays in the ground. There's a time for every activity and every season under heaven. He says a time to be born, a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. He's giving some positive things along with some negative things. How many of you know that's life? Sometimes we're living, sometimes we're dying. Sometimes we're planting, sometimes we're pulling those plants up. A time to kill and a time to heal. Let me help you understand this, because people say, well, that's a contradiction in Scripture, because God said, thou shalt not kill. God said, thou shalt not murder. Okay, pay attention to that. Everybody understand, this is not murder that he's talking about. How many of you are thankful that you live in the United States of America, not Japan? Give the Lord praise. Let me tell you this. Had we not killed some folk in that season of killing and war, we're going to see in a minute, there's a time for war and there's a time for peace. So all you anti-violent people, listen, there's righteous violence. God's people participated in it all through Scripture. So understand, there's nothing wrong with Israel having the best missile defense system when everybody in the world wants to blow them off the face of the earth. They're cool for that. God's with that. You ought to support them. I know what you people say. You say, well, man, I'm just not a violent person. Then don't be. There's some warriors in this room who know this. There is a time where, hey, if somebody breaks in my house in the middle of the night, can I just tell you this? The season of killing just started. I got news. Shame upon them. Now you say, man, that sounds like you want violence. I don't. I want you to stay out of my house. I don't want you to have to cause me to live with the guilt of taking your life. But watch this. I will. Because if it's one of my children or my wife or even my bulldog or you, Bubba, it's going to be you. I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, well, man, that sounds like you're inciting violence and Jesus wasn't a violent person. Listen, remember this. When Peter took out his sword and he cut off the guy's ear, Jesus didn't say, Peter, you shouldn't have a sword. He said, don't live by it. He told him, put your sword back in the sheath. You're more than welcome to carry it, because there's bad folks out on these roads who might try to rob you. Put your sword back in the sheath and don't live by it. Don't go out looking for violence. That's stupid. It's going to get you killed. He says there's a time. This is the Bible, in case y'all didn't know that. So it's right. And the liberals are wrong. There's a time to kill. A time to heal. Because you know what? After a bunch of killing, there's got to be some healing. How many of you folks went off to war? Vietnam, Desert Storm, Iraq, Afghanistan. Let me say this. Let God heal you in that season of healing. You saw some bad things. You had to do some bad things. Listen, stop letting the enemy tear you up with that and let God bring you into a season of healing. Not a coincidence that he puts those two together. He goes on. He says, a time to tear down and a time to build up. There are times where, man, you got to tear some things down. Your house is falling apart and you keep adding to it and it's never going to be a new house. You might as well just go on a bulldozer and start over and save some money. A time to weep, a time to laugh. You know, I love that passage right there, because I'm sometimes a crybaby. When the Lord gets a hold of me, I, like I said, sometimes I fog up. And not crying, fogging up. Oh, it's weeping. Sometimes I weep when souls are snatched from hell in our midst, man. We see God just reach down out of heaven and by His grace rescue someone. You're going to see me tear up about that. That's the greatest miracle mankind has ever seen. We were separated from God because of our sin, and miraculously He reaches down and He rescues us from our destiny in hell. That's spectacular. So there's a time to weep, there's a time to laugh. There's a time to mourn and a time to dance. That's for all you Baptists. Huh? Foot stomping? Hey, foot stomping. It's dancing. He goes on. I could pick on you so bad right now, but I'm not going to. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain. He means to refrain from embracing. Some of your manuscripts that says that. Man, give me a hug, but don't hold on so long. Good to see you. Let me go. A time to search, and a time to give up. A time to keep, and a time to throw away. A time to tear, and a time to mend. A time to be silent, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. You say, what? My grandma said don't hate. Listen, the Bible says hate the things God hates. You ought to hate injustice. You ought to hate wickedness. You ought to hate the evil in this world. Everything that God hates, you're allowed to hate as a child of God. Everybody understand that? You ought to hate it, and it ought to motivate you to live righteousness. You ought to hate your flesh. I hate mine. I tell you this, you can know you're growing as a Christian when you hate your flesh more and more and more. You say, I'm tired of this thing trying to control me when Jesus purchased me not to be controlled by this old me. Hate your flesh. I promise you'll never see victory over that flesh until you hate it enough to kill it every single day. In case you didn't know, Jesus said that's what we're supposed to do. Crucify ourselves daily. He says a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. That's for all the hippies. Sometimes you got to fight to be a man. Huh? That's not Jesus. That's Kenny Rogers. Let me tell you something. Somebody backs you in the corner. Y'all going to think ugly of me right now. I'm just going to tell you. There was a thing going around in public school systems, and I'll just go and tell you. There's a lot of teachers here, and I love you. But if somebody ever backed my boy in a corner, my boy got in trouble for defending himself, that's his last day at your campus. You say, well, there you go, promoting violence. I'm not promoting violence. There's a time. Listen, and you live your life as best you can, Scripture says, at peace with one another. And you know why he says that best you can? Sometimes you just can't live at peace. Let me tell you what, why is the American response right now to embrace ISIS? Really? Those guys don't want a hug? They want to kill you. They want to kill your family. They want to take over this country. They want to kill everything in sight. That's their very nature. God said that's the way they're going to be. Understand this. There's going to come a time, you young men right now, young men who are at age, and you're going off to the military, praying about it, thinking about it, there's going to be a time to kill, time for war. You're going to see it. I promise you. And listen, my opinion is long overdue. You say, well, why do you incite such violence in saying that if your kid got backed in the corner by a bully? Because I'm old school. There is only but one way after you've done everything you can do to love this bully and lead him to Jesus. When he backs you in the corner and you keep letting him back you in the corner, you're going to spend your whole life in the corner. Hey, but one way. I know that ain't proper English. Miss Bonzo ain't here today to get on to me. Hey, but one way to stop it. You got to go to war. And you know what's sad? You know what's sad? Even in my short life, when we were kids, you know what we did? We played army. We did. Man, we'd spend all summer long. We'd pick up a stick and that thing became an M16. And we fought every imaginary enemy there was. Nobody had to teach us to do that. But we live in a society where we're taking the inner warrior out of young men. Don't hit him. If you fight, you're going to jail. Why? Let them fight on the playground. You heard me say it. You know what's coming next. You let them fight on the playground, they won't be kissing in the bathroom. You got to teach men to be men. So here's the thing, as we look at this and everybody who's on the other side of the track just decided, well, this is probably not the place God's leading us. It's probably not. But I promise you this, my Bible says our God is a warrior. And I know this, sometimes there is a time for war, though there is a time for peace. Let me tell you this, I'm a peaceful person. I like peace. God's going to talk about this all the time. Wouldn't it be great if we all had peace and we all just get along? Huh? Wouldn't it be nice? But how many of you know that's not the way it is? It won't be the way it's going to be until Jesus sets foot on this earth and He renews everything. Understand that. Then that day it will be what it's supposed to be. But in God's Word, y'all still remember we're reading the Bible. So Kirk didn't say there's a time for war and a time for peace. You tell me who said it. Thank you very much. Now you can argue with him. What does the worker gain from his toil? He asks this question. I worked my whole life. What do I get out of it? Dead. You don't take anything with you. U-Hauls and hearses. They don't even have a trailer hitch on a hearse. I have seen the burden God has laid on men. Solomon takes notice. He says, I see that there's a burden laid on you. He's made everything beautiful in its time. He says, understand, I know what you go through, but God's going to make it all beautiful in His time. And I'm thankful that that time Jesus comes, all things are going to be made new. In His time, all this is going to be made beautiful once again like He intended it before sin entered in. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from the beginning to the end. Isn't that funny? He lets us get eternity so that we can long for eternity, but yet He doesn't let us fully understand it. Why? He's going to tell us why in a second. I know that there is nothing better for man than to be happy and do good while they live, right? How many of y'all say, okay, I want in that club? The successful, everything in life goes smooth club. I have everything I want, I'm happy. He says, I know that that's what men really want, that everyone may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all his toil. This is the gift of God. He says, you have it, understand it came from God, but most don't. He says, I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken away from it. Can you just pause there for a second for all our charismatic friends here today who think that by doing good you're going to gain more blessings? He said, it's already established. Sovereign God is already established. Did you know this? Watch me. Pay attention. Every blessing that Kirk Hall is ever going to receive has already been established in the eternal realm by a God who knows all and sees all. Now you stop and think of that for a second. Now I don't live my life. I don't live my life trying to earn something for God. I live my life out of appreciation for a God who's already decided to bless me before I ever know what happened. What's unfortunate in America, we got people preaching in the pulpit, is that if you live X, Y, and Z, God will bless you with all the other things. He just said, it's already been done. Nothing can be taken from it. Nothing can be added to it. God does it. Watch this. Please, for a second, transition from your human economy and your human thinking. He says, God does it. What does He do? Everything that we just read. He allows there to be instability in the things of this life. He allows for you to not feel the success sometimes of all your hard work. He says He allows this. Why? Pay attention to what He says. God does it so that men will revere Him. So that we won't revere each other. So that we won't revere our career or our success or our money or our little kingdom that we're building on this earth that is nothing more than a castle made of sand. He says He does all this and allows all this, the seasons, the times, the purposes of everything, so that men will revere Him. What does all this mean in English? Kurt, please tell us. Y'all ready for the help us understand what you're saying part? Here we go. Number one, there's a God-ordained time and season for everything. Now understand, when I say a God-ordained time and season for everything, you're going to have to grasp this, and this is going to be hard. I'm going to ask you to put your flesh aside for a second, because if you don't, you're going to ask the fatal question of why. You don't have the right to ask why. God didn't say, I allow all these things happen so men will question me. Is that not what He said? He didn't say that. He said, I allow the ups and downs of life, the seasons, the times, my purposes. I allow these things to happen. Why? So men will bow on their face before me. That's why. Not so that you can understand it. You know, the most liberating thing in all the world in my Christian life was this. Some years back, I realized I don't have to understand it. Watch this. This is going to mess you Americans up. I don't have to like it. But I do have to bow down to Him, and I have to revere His purpose and His plan for my life, whether I like it or whether I don't. Whether it's comfortable or whether it's uncomfortable. Maybe it's a good thing. Embrace it. Maybe it's a bad thing. Let me say this. Embrace that too. The God ordained time and season for everything. You got to understand this. You're going to embrace this truth today. We saw it. Verses 1 through 8, He tells us there's a time, there's a season, everything. How do we embrace that, Kirk? How do we live there? Understand this. Listen, first you got to understand God controls everything in His time. In His time. Please, if you're taking notes, underline that part. Because God's not just in control when you let Him be. He's in control even when you don't know He's in control. He's even in control when you think you're in control, which is never. God controls everything in His own time. That's what He's telling us through Solomon here today. Every purpose, every season under heaven, I am in sovereign control of this. Why? We'll talk about it again in a minute, but I've already told you. So that people will bow down and worship Him. He's in control. None of you are. Nothing happens without His approval. Are you listening? Listen to me. You folks who have a charismatic background, pay attention. Because what you like to do when death happens in your family, you like to say this, well, the devil stole their life. I want to help you. I want to help you, and you know, I get it. I can't say this at the bedside in the hospital to the person who just lost their loved one. I get it. I have some tact there. But I can say it to a group of believers here today. There is a purpose in everything that happens in this life, and nothing happens without God's approval. Nothing. So here's the thing. Instead of you blaming the evil one as if he's in control of something, I know you're hurting. I know you don't understand it. So does he. And you know what he wants you to do in that situation? He doesn't want you to give Satan credit. He wants you to crawl up into his lap and show him the reverence that he deserves. He wants to be the one who says, I know nobody else in all this world's ever going to make everything right again, but I can in my time. What did he say? I'll make all things beautiful. When we lose that loved one, listen, our first question ought to be this. Did they know Jesus? Did they know Christ? Did I live an example before them that showed them Christ? The number one thing is, do they know Christ so that I at least have the hope of eternity for them? God's in control of everything. Understand this, man. It would do us well in those difficult times to approach God like this. God, I'm small. Oh, this is simple. Pay attention. You're great. I don't have to understand this. Could I just stay in your embrace? Till you heal my heart. Let me tell you, that's what He longs to do, people. Please understand that. He longs to be that God to us. In fact, He longed for it enough He sent His only Son to die on a cross so that we could have that kind of relationship with the sovereign God. Nothing happens without His approval. Nothing. You say, well, then that causes me to be mad at God. Well, you'd be very, very careful in doing so. Because I promise you this, everything that I've ever disagreed with Him on, there's been time. I'll tell you one that hit close to home. This church, I told God no. Look around you. I'm thankful that He loves me enough to be patient with me. I told Him, no, I am not going back to New Caney, Texas. I'll go to Nome, Alaska. But not New Caney, Texas. That's my home. This is where He had me go. He doesn't care if I like it. It's His desire. It's His plan. So understand, He doesn't have to approve your plans just because you're a born-again believer. Isn't that funny that people go around saying that? In Jesus' name, I command you to do this, Lord. You better stop. You've all heard it. Commanding Jesus to do what He has to do because you said so. Can I just say this, and I'm going to hurt your feelings? That's foolish. That's foolish. You got to come to Him in reverence and say, God, I know You know best. Here's what I like, but that's not what You want, Lord. You don't approve of that? I'm with You. I'm going to do Your will. Understand, nothing happens without God's approval. Why? Because there's a God-ordained time and a season for everything. You know there was a God-ordained time and a season for the exact moment that Jesus set foot on this earth, the exact moment that He endured the cross, the exact moment He was resurrected from the dead, the exact moment that He ascended into heaven. Did you know that the earth sets on an exact axis that God put it there? He's an exact God. understand this. This exact God has a time and a season for everything. Sometimes those times and those seasons are joyful. Sometimes those times and those seasons are sorrowful. But no matter what the reason for those times and those seasons, he said the reason is to bow down and to praise him for who he is in spite of what you're going through, whether it's good or whether it's bad. This constant change of times and seasons, we all know it, don't we? This is life, right? Go like this if you're with me. This is life. This is God. Understand that. He's steadfast. He's constant. That's why David prayed, Lord, create in me a steadfast spirit. Why? Because he was being tossed and turned with everything. Have you ever read about David's life in Scripture? You talk about, I'm on a mountaintop, I'm on a valley, I'm on a mountaintop, I'm on a valley, ah, crash back down to the valley. You know what he realized? He realized that all these things, though they have a purpose, though they were allowed by God, you say, do you mean God would allow me to sin? Let me tell you what I'm not saying. I'm not saying God made you sin. He allowed it to happen. You think God didn't allow Adam and Eve to sin in the garden? Anybody listening? And why did he allow it to happen? Why does he allow it to happen in my life? I've often asked that question. God, why didn't you just protect me from this temptation? Because then I wouldn't be on my face worshiping him for his forgiveness. Then I wouldn't be on my face praising him for his restoration. So understand, he allows every time and every season in your life. So if you're in a bad season right now, praise God in the midst of your bad season. If you're in a good season, praise God in the midst. There's a God-ordained time and a season for everything. Number two, there's a God-ordained purpose and reason for everything. God uses change to try us and to teach us. What he's saying here? How many of you have gone through change and you learned something? How many of you hated it at the beginning? Right? Our life is ever-changing. We've already said that. But what's good is in the fact that our life is ever-changing, God is displaying to us that he does not. So he's not thrown to the side or freaked out. He allowed this thing to happen for a reason, for a purpose. You know what I encourage you to do? Instead of whining next time, your life is thrown into chaos because there's a season of chaos in your life. Instead of whining, why don't you go to God and say, God, open my eyes through your Holy Spirit and show me the purpose in this. To show me the lesson in this. And Lord, if I'm not ready for it, don't try to show it to me now, because how many of you know, sometimes it's 20 years down the road before we're ready to see the real purpose. But God, I want to walk with you in such a way that when it's ready for you to reveal to me the purpose, I want to see that purpose so that I can praise you for it. I'm not asking you to do that today. This is the beginning of the change in your life. I'm asking you to look for a reason, maybe later on down the road. Say, God, you had a purpose, and I praise you for that. How many of you have ever been through a hard time? And you realize later on there was a God-ordained purpose in it. Can I comfort you with this? There always is. There always is. Now, I'm not to question the purpose. I'm to agree with God. You are in control. And there's a purpose, Lord. I need to see that purpose so that I can grow in this area. Nothing happens that God does not have a purpose for. Did you know that? Even mosquitoes. Think about it. I don't know what that purpose is. But God created a mosquito and he's sovereign. Therefore, I know this. He wanted the earth to have mosquitoes. Now, you're like me. We've questioned God on that from time to time, haven't we? Yesterday in February, they ate me alive. And I said, God, why? And then I'm reminded, hey, don't question my purposes. One day maybe we'll know that. Even though we can't understand the purposes, you know how we can't understand the purpose? He said this. He said, you can understand eternity, but not much more after that. How true is that? And just put that in your heart. You can understand eternity. You know this. Did you know this? Most people know there's got to be something after this life, whether they're born again or not. And so you at least know there's got to be more out there just placed in your heart. But you can't really fully understand the purposes of God. Listen, don't try. You're not capable. But even though we can't understand it, even though we sometimes question it, we have to rest in the fact that there is a reason. There is a reason. And let me tell you this, before you get your heart broken, maybe you won't find that reason out why you're on this earth. Maybe it will be when you enter into heaven and you find out, man, that happened so that so-and-so, this person over here, that person over there, can come to faith in Christ. And man, I'm so grateful for what happened because God used this thing that seemed like a tragedy in my life to bring Him glory in someone else's life. Oh, that would mess up our Christian thinking, wouldn't it? That would almost cause us just to rest in His sovereignty, wouldn't it? Oh, if we ever started doing that, what would happen? Just rest in the fact that God's in control and we're not. Because as children of God, let me tell you this, that ought to be where we live. It ought to be where we live, to embrace the truth and to know by faith that there is nothing that I'm going to go through that a sovereign God who loves me beyond anything that I could ever imagine has allowed this to happen. Watch this. Not for me, but for His purposes and His glory. I know today in American Christianity, that is hard to swallow. I'll tell you this, in Kirk Hall's life, sometimes I've had times and seasons where it was hard to swallow for me. But I promise you, it is the single most liberating thing in my Christian life to know this. God's in control. Kirk Hall is not. And I get to rest in Him. And I get to know that He's teaching me something. I get to know that He's bringing Himself glory even through my sorrow. Wow. It's quiet here today. Am I speaking truth or am I just making stuff up? Because I'm just reading straight off the page. You see, there's a God-ordained time and season for everything. There's a God-ordained purpose and reason for everything. And thirdly, and I will make this quick and I'll close, God is constant despite all the change and all the chaos that we face in this world. He is constant. He says that in verse 14 and 15. He reminds us of that. He's constant for a reason. He's constant so that we'll take note of that. That He doesn't change. That His promises are always true. That His Word is always absolute. I'm thankful that I can know this. I don't care what any of you say to me. It could be a lie. But every single thing I read here is the truth. And I'm going to base everything that I believe on the truth of the Word of God. Why? He's constant. He never fails. He's never lacking in anything. His wisdom, His knowledge, they're infinite. We need to understand that. God's in control in a constant state despite what we may be doing, despite the roller coaster that we may be on, the change, the chaos, the seasons that He talked about. Y'all just thought this was a pretty passage, didn't you? He's got a far greater point to this than we ever imagined, doesn't He? He's saying good seasons, bad seasons, any season in between, I am the constant variable to them all so that you will praise me. Nothing shocks me. Nothing surprises me. Nothing's out of my control. Bow down and worship me for who I am. And you know what that's going to do? That's going to cause us to be thankful. Because in every season, we bow down before Him. In every failure, we showed Him reverence. In every success, we gave Him praise. In every tragedy, we said, you know what, God, you're bigger than this tragedy. Every set of bad news or bad circumstance that we received, God, you're bigger than all of this. That's why He said He wrote all of it. So that no matter what, you would find yourself in a position of awe. And He says something interesting. I don't want to leave this out. The last verse there, chapter 15. He says, whatever is has already been, and what will be has been before, and God will call the past to account. What is He saying? You're not going through anything nobody else has ever gone through. You're not seeing corrupt society and corrupt government as if you're the first culture to ever see that. You're not seeing around you all the immorality that's being embraced. What He's letting you know is this. I allow things to repeat themselves so that people will continually see I am constant. I am sovereign. I am worthy of worship and praise. No one or nothing else is. So when we put this all in its context and we put it all into perspective, what are you trying to teach us, Kurt? You're struggling in life? Nothing new. You're not the first one to struggle. Quit whining. If you're going through a season that's a difficult season, let God carry you through that difficult season. Let Him carry you. You know how He carries you? When you lay yourself down at His feet. Because when we lay ourselves at His feet, He's always there to pick us up and to bring us close. I assure you of that. I've been there. So no matter what you face, if you're struggling in life, it's nothing new. Let me help you. God has a purpose for you. Praise Him. Maybe you're going through a good season, season of blessing right now. Don't forget what He's done. Don't forget it all came from Him. Your business is prospering. Stock market's up. Your retirement account filling up again. Hallelujah. Hope you get to enjoy it. You're not guaranteed it. You ain't taking it with you. The fact of the matter is this, if good things are going on, hey, don't forget Him in the midst of it. Because if you really believe He's sovereign, He's allowing it to happen. Just like He allowed it not to happen. People got all crazy when the last president was all, what are we going to do? Well, praise God for about 8 years. Listen, I'm not saying that to get political. Maybe you're a fan. He gone. But we can't be freaked out by those things. What we need to do is, hey, listen, right now some of those people, their team didn't win. They're freaked out about it. Listen, when your team doesn't win, just regroup. Just regroup. God, hey, God may provide for your team a reality show host that can become your next team leader. Never know what's going to happen, but I promise you this, if God didn't want him there, he wouldn't be there. Watch this, I'm going to mess some of you folks up who are on his team. If he didn't want Obama to be there for 8 years, he wouldn't have been there either. Oh, this puts everything into perspective a little bit for our little shallow minds, doesn't it? So that ought to cause us to say, if everything that happens, happens because our God allows it to happen, our response ought to be, why? Our response ought to be, Lord, I worship you. Lord, you're worthy. Lord, you're holy. You're in control of everything. I'm going to rest in that. I'm going to rest in that all the way to eternity because you promised me eternal life in Jesus Christ and you are constant. Going through a trial, it's nothing new. Praise Him for it. If you're going through blessing, praise Him for it. God has a purpose for both. Are you at a standstill? Some of you right now, you're at a spiritual standstill. You've been there for years. You can't figure it out. I just can't break through. Because you haven't got honest. What you're doing, you're whining about the place that you're in instead of going to the place of worship and adoration to the throne. I promise you this. He's waiting for you. You're not waiting for Him. God, I just need you to break through in my life. He already has. Scripture says it's draw near to Him. He'll draw near to you. That's a promise from God. He's constant. So draw near. Maybe this morning you've been stagnant in your spiritual life. It's been 100 years since you've been to the altar because, man, I don't want to go down there and pray because people will think bad of me. Are we that concerned? Are we that concerned of what people think of us and not very concerned of what a holy God thinks of us? I promise you this, I'd rather humble myself before all of you people and be right with God. And sit back there in my pride, squeeze that pew, not let God have glory today in the service. I promise you that. I've been there. I've been to that crossword. He said, well, they're going to think bad of me. Listen, if you think bad of me, let me promise you this, it's just. It's just. Let me even say this. Please talk about me more often in a negative sense than you do and give other people a break. Because you're right. I have nothing good to offer a God who is so wonderful. Nothing. Even on my best day, it's filled. So approach it like that. God, you're in control. I'm not in control. You're in that stagnant season. Cry out to Him. You're not the first one to ever be there. God's got a purpose. You know why He's let you be stagnant so long? So you will run to the throne today. Maybe you're hearing you say, my whole life, my whole season of my whole life has been nothing but sin and self and wickedness and all the things that go along with that. Let me tell you this. God has allowed you to stay there, and He's allowed you to stay there for this very moment. Pay attention to me. He's allowed you to stay there for this very moment so that you can see your need for redemption through Jesus Christ. So today, listen, accept the grace and the mercy that Jesus paid for you to have. That was according to the sovereign will of God. When He calls you out of darkness and into light today, it's not because you're not worthy. It's because He says you're worthy even in spite of you to receive mercy and grace and forgiveness, not by what you've done, but by what Jesus has done. Maybe today that season in your life changes because you recognize the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. I don't know where each of you are as individuals, but I know this, that God who wrote these things in His Word, who's teaching them to us today through His Holy Spirit, wants us to understand that we are all here for a purpose, and that purpose is His. Maybe you say, oh, I don't know God's purpose for my life. Let me help you. God. Whatever you do, whether word or deed, do it all to the glory of Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father. That's what the New Testament teaches us. People come to me all the time, I just don't know what God's will for my life is. God. It's too simple. No, you better simplify it because you're going to complicate it. When you complicate it, your brain's not going to be able to carry it. Your purpose is Him. Your purpose is so that others will revere Him, so that others will worship Him, so that others will surrender their life to Him through Jesus Christ. That is your purpose. You say, but you don't understand, I drive a UPS truck. Well, you drive a UPS truck for Jesus. Well, but I'm a school teacher. Then you teach school for Jesus. Well, I'm in a public school where I can't preach Jesus. Then live it. Live it. I promise you, you can live it if somebody cuts your tongue out. A wise man once said, preach Jesus every chance you get and use words only when necessary. Y'all get that? It doesn't matter what you say, it's what you live. Are you bringing reverence to Him? Would you stand to your feet, every head bowed and every eye closed? With every new season and purpose, I promise you this, God remains the same. If you're here today, let me tell you this, you're here today when you were a teenager, you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, and in whatever circumstance you've been in and season in your life, you've drifted away from following Him and from worshiping Him and from serving Him. Let me tell you, He hasn't changed His mind about you. You're still His, and just as the Father longed for the prodigal to return home, He longs for you to return home today. I want to make you this promise. If you will confess your sin to Him and you run to the porch of the Father, He will meet you halfway. He will embrace you. He will strengthen you. He will renew you today. Don't let the devil keep telling you those lies that you've gone too far. You haven't gone too far. Now, you might have gone far, but there's no such thing as too far if you're His child. You're here today and you say, Kurt, I don't know that I truly have been forgiven of all my sin. I don't know that my purpose in life has ever been about Jesus Christ, about God the Father and His kingdom. I feel something going on in my heart today, Kirk. I just want to be honest with you, and I want to be honest with God first and foremost. I believe God's telling me to surrender my life to Jesus Christ today, to repent of my sin and turn to Him as my Savior, my hope, my refuge, my forgiveness. Kirk, I need more than anything in all this world this very day. I need Jesus Christ to save my soul from all of my sin. You say, Kirk, that's me. I want to be honest about it. Would you slip up your hand right now? I want to pray with you and pray for you. Say, I need Jesus to save me. Raise it up high where I can see you. I want a new purpose today, Kirk. And I want that purpose to be Jesus Christ. And I know that God has implanted that want in my heart in this short time that we've had together this morning. I didn't want it when I came in. Now I want it more than ever. I want Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior. The only one who ever died for my sin. Would you slip up your hand right now so that I can pray with you and pray for you? You say, that's me. Anyone here? Listen, don't hesitate. Don't linger. Kirk, I need Jesus to save me. You hear and you say, Kirk, man, I'm in a season right now. And I've missed the point. I realize now that this season, according to God's purpose and plan, was so that I would get on my knees and draw near to Him and focus on Him in spite of all the things around me. I want to be honest with you this morning, Pastor. I want to be honest and say, I've missed the mark on this. Here's what you can do. You can continue to complain about your season and miss the fact that God has a purpose for it, and that purpose that you would get on your face and trust Him with it. You would get on your face and say, God, I know You're in control, and I know You are worthy of praise, and I know no matter what the outcome, it's never going to change who You are or what You're capable of doing. If you need prayer, our prayer partners are here at the front. The altars are open. I don't know where you are today, but I know I've been everywhere that I explained this morning that a person could be. I was lost and undone without Jesus, and He had a purpose. And one day He called me out of darkness and into light. And there's been times where I've been in the season of darkness, even in my Christian walk, and I know this. I know that it was Him who allowed me to be there so that His purposes could be fulfilled in my life. Wherever you are today, He said, I wrote you all these things so that you can show me reverence. Can for the next few minutes of our time together, can we just show God reverence, worship, adoration, praise? Not because we're in a good circumstance or a circumstance we like, but because He is a holy, righteous, sovereign God who loves us even in spite of us. Children of God, would you worship your Father this morning?
There's a place where mercy reigns and never dies. There's a place where streams of grace go deep and wide.